Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem and welcome back to today's Daf Hayomi, Maseches Chulin, Perek Elul Treifos, Daf Mem Dalet. We are holding 15 lines from the top of the oven. So we're in the Veshet, may one do Shechita. The Veshet, of course, is the food pipe which extends from the throat all the way down into the stomach. Which section of that Veshet is suitable for Shechita? Says the word Lamala, Ad Kama. What's the uppermost boundary in the Veshet until which you can do Shechita? Until very near the throat. Amar Nachman Ad Kli Tfisas Yad. Tfisas Yad is a hand grip, a handful. Rashi says 3-4 finger widths. So the last section next to the throat is unsuitable. But until that point, it's okay. Lamata Ad Kama. What about the lowest boundary? How far down can you go? Amar Nachman. Amar Rabba Baravu Ad Kli Shi Yasser. Until it starts showing hair, the inner lining. The inside surface starts becoming fibrous and hairy, which is an indication that the stomach is coming up, and that's considered out of bounds for shechit. Ain't is that so? Basically, you can shecht all the way down until this point, even though it's right near the stomach. Ain't of Amar Avina, Amar Gneva, he quotes Mishmei the Rav. No, you have to stop at the last tevach near the stomach. The stop. Past which is out of bounds for Shechita. Tefach beveshet, samach lekeres, is the last tefach of the veshet right near the stomach. That is no longer considered veshet. Zeu keres apnir, it's called the stomach, amai. So then, the earlier halacha, which says you can shech until the hair is seen, that's further down, much closer, amai ki kashachet. So then, if he's going to shech past that point, bekeres kashachet. If he's going to shech into the last tefach, he's shechting in the stomach. How does this work? Ema. Let's modify this last statement. Not but the last tefach of the veshet is out of bounds, is considered stomach. No, tefach bekeres, samach leveshet, zeo keres apnimi. He didn't mean the last tefach of the veshet. He was talking about the first tefach of the keres. So the tefach and the keres, which is closest to the veshet. So the first tefach of the keres, that is called zeo keres apnimi, that's called keres apnimi. But in terms of classifying the boundaries of the veshet, defining the boundaries of the actual veshet, it extends all the way down until the seyar is seen. Yibayisim, another way to understand this, actually there is a halacha that the last tefach of the veshet is out of bounds, but it does correspond with the seyar, or the hair rule. Why? Because in a regular, small animal, the rule is you can shecht in the veshet until the seyar is seen, and that can be very close to the keres, even within a tefach. Yibayisim, if you come a rav, when rav set down the tefach boundary, that the last tefach is out of bounds, it was because he's talking about an ox who's more developed, and there's going to be hair within that last tefach. So really, the two laws jive and coincide with each other. But Torah is talking about an ox. The master Torah has lots of hair. So bottom line is, still keeping with the same rule. How far down in the veshet is it kosher for shechita until the seyar develops? We spoke yesterday about the turbatz haveshet. That's the resting, like ravitza, the resting place of the veshet, where the veshet starts off. It connects to the throat and then extends down. Shenital kulei melechi. It was totally removed. Disconnected, detached from the lower jaw. Kosher, the animal's okay. But Tana, in fact, this was presented to by our Tana in the Mishnah, further down in the Dafnat Nun Dalet, who says, likewise, Nita Lechiach Tacht, and it's kosher, even if the entire lower jaw was removed, it's okay. Apparently, we don't care if the Veshet was detached from its source, which we presume is the Lechi HaTach, the lower jaw, that's where it comes from. Ask the Gemara, but fine, but there was a halacha called Ikur, right? One of the halachas of Shechita is that you can't do Ikur, you can't yank out the tubes, which happens in this case. It's detached. Maskal Rav Papa. Ikur Simonim. How could you allow this animal whose veshet has been disconnected? Isn't that Ikur? Ikur Simonim? So basically, he's asking on Shmuel. Now, we're going to Papa Kashi Masnissen. But first, how does Rav Papa understand the Mishnah, which says, clearly, Nita Lechiach Tachten is kosher. I mean, lower jaw is gone. The veshet is just hanging in free in thin air. It's just, and the Mishnah clearly said it's okay. So what's the kasha? No, you see, Bishleim Masnissen Rav Papa Lekasha. I can understand, fully understand how Rav Papa learned the Mishnah. It's a different type of detachment. Huh, the Akari Kuri. The ikur, which disqualifies, is talking that it's been detached completely. So the veshet is totally disconnected from the lechi and from the tissue that it's sitting on. It's totally hanging free. That makes it possible. Huh, the Mishnah speaking, the igumi, that the lower jaw was sort of shaven away and removed off the skin, off the tissue, the flesh, behind and underneath it, which still remained behind, which allows the veshet to still have some sort of connection and still be grounded and framed by tissue, by flesh. Milui simanim, the lechi was removed from above the simanim, which stayed in place and framed by tissue, by flesh. El l'shmol kashi. Kasha was specifically on Shmuel, who says that even if the vesh is totally detached, it's okay. Isn't that ikur? Like Kasha has the answer. Sorry. Lo yitei mekulei, ela eim merubei. Shmuel never allowed a full detachment of the veshet. He meant if it's mostly detached, it's okay. And ikur is only if it's completely detached. Ask the Gemara, but Shmuel himself seems to say otherwise. That even this will be a problem. V'omer Rabba, Bar Brachan, Omer Shmuel, he's quoting Shmuel himself, Simanim Shenidadalu. Beruba and Treifa of Simanim were detached, mostly disconnected, it's a Treifa. And here he says it's okay. Omer Shisha, Breda Ravidi. There are two versions of detachment. Ha de Ikpelik Pule. Shmuel by us, who says that the mostly detached Veshet is still okay. It's speaking, it was sliced, it was cut cleanly. So it's cut 51%, and the rest, the 49%, is still intact. Remained in place. So this can recover, it can re-heal. Hosom de Ifrak Ifruki. When Shmuel over there says, Simonim, which are mostly detached, create a problem. That's when it was yanked. The simon was yanked off the flesh, off the tissue. Right, so it got detached a little here, a little there. Altogether, the detached portion was rife. But even the part that's still connected, it's been weakened. The whole thing has been weakened. So even the part that's connected, you can't really bank on it to affect the recovery, to heal the whole thing, because the whole thing has been weakened and partially severed. Okay, so bottom line is like this. The Mishnah says, Nita lechi atachten is kosher. That's a given, that's a Mishnah. What about Ikor? Speaking of the jawbone was removed, and but not the actual, it did not really affect a detachment of the veshet off the surrounding tissue. It's still framed, it's still connected. That's Rav Papa's opinion. According to Shmuel, even if it's mostly detached, but in a clean way, in a neat way, that's okay. As opposed to Ifrik Ifruke, even if it's partially still, hanging in there, it's considered a treifa. Next item on the list. Upsukas ha-gargeres. So the gargeres is the trachea, the windpipe, which has been sliced, which has been severed. Roif has been cut. It's a treifa. Our Mishnah says Psukas ha-gargeres without giving us that roif factor. Tana, we learned in a brisa, kama psukas hagargeres. How much is considered psukas hagargeres? Beruba, mostly cut. Vekama ruba. How do you account for most? What does most mean? Now we know that the gargeres, trachea, is comprised of rings of cartilage, right? Starting from the top, which is the tabas hakdoila on top, right near the throat, and then there's a chain of rings that make up the structure of the gargaris, inside which there's some tissue, some sort of membrane, which creates an inner tube. Now the rings don't really come full circle. They're like this. They come around mostly, and they're connected then by this inner tube of flesh, of tissue, that really comes full circle to complete that 360 full circle tube. Now the ring on top is thicker than the sides. So when we speak about Reif, do we look at the outer dimensions? Right? So when you cut through the gargaris, slice it, do you start from the top, the outer dimensions? As long as you go down past 51%, from the outer perspective, you've passed the Reif and its puzzle. Or do you say, no, ignore the thickness of the wall. We calculate based on the inside dimension, the inner cavity. So the Reif has to come down further to take you past the 50 mark line. Become a Ruba. How do you count for Reif? How do you calculate it? Rav Amar, we turn it on the base. Reif Avya, look at the thickness. External dimensions. Va'amilo, some say Reif Chalala, internal dimensions. Hayi psukas ha-gargaris de'asot kamei de'rav. There was an animal that experienced this type of injury. It was presented to Rav. Yosef, yakar badigla, Reif Avya, he was sitting and he was measuring it based on the external dimensions, accounting for the actual thickness of the wall. Amrulei Rav Kahana, Rav Asi, they turned to Larav. Tana Rabbeinu, Rabbi, you taught us Reif Chalala. It's about the inside dimensions. So he didn't really, conclude, and he sent it to the next Rav. Shadre the Kamei sent it to the Rav Arachana. And in fact, Bodka Reif Chalala v'Achshru. He measured it based on the inside dimensions, and he said, it's okay. And in fact, he turned around and he purchased some of the meat, just to make the point. V'zava mina. Why not? It's kosher meat. So he purchased of this meat, betleisar, 13, istiri pshiti, a certain kind of coin, bistra of meat. So he purchased a whole package of meat of this very animal that he permitted. Ask the Gemara a couple of questions on the story. Vechi avad hachi, how could he even permit the animal once it was ruled as forbidden by Rav? By the time you learned in a brisa, you can't just overturn a previous ruling. Chacham shatime, the first chacham renders something tame. Ein chaveira rashi letar. The next rav can't overturn it and make a tor. If the first rav is asar, prohibits something, ein chaveira rashi lahat. The other rav can't permit it. The answer is shani hach. Here it's very different because rav never really issued a final opinion. He was just contemplating. The rav li asar meisa. He didn't really forbid it. He was on the verge, but he was cut short by the, Talmidim, and then he sent it further. Ask the Gemara, v'hei chivan d'oiri b'chacham. Next question. If this animal had even a chance of being a problem, it was something that had to be discussed and analyzed and ruled on, why would Rabbi eat from it? We know from Yecheskel, remember that Yecheskel would keep away from any questionable material. The pasuk says, "Va'omar aha Hashem lakim." Cheskel turns to Hashem. We have this whole Gemara. Hine nafshi lemitama v'nevela treif lo yichalti menura v'ad ato v'lo bavi pi basar pigul. I didn't touch anything questionable, anything problematic. I guarded my holiness, and the Gemara explained, right? Hine nafshi lemitama. What does that mean? He kept away. I was very careful from tuma. Shulei harati b'yoyim. I would guard my thoughts during daytime. Love the tomb of Elijah, lest it come to problems and issues at night. Next, when Nevela Trefa Lechati means, Shalechati Psar Kois Me'ilam. Of course, he didn't eat Nevela Trefa outright. It means to say he didn't even eat an animal which was precarious, in a precarious situation, on the verge of death. Quickly, Kois Kois, Shechted. No, he wouldn't even touch that animal. Voleba Bipi Basar Pigel. I kept away from Pigel, which means, Shalechati Behema Shoher Bachachm. I wouldn't even touch a Behema that had a question on it and had to be ruled on. Mishum Nasan Amru, another point was said, Shloi Chati Behema Shlehu Matne Seah, keep away from meat that the Matanis hadn't yet been given to the Kayan. So why would Rava engage in a Behema which had a Shaila? Says the Gemara, Hani Mila Milsa the Talib is Svara. It's only a concern if the issue is something which is given to personal analysis. A Svara. So it's something that you never know, right? Different perspectives, different way to look at things. So he was machmer and would not, engage in that. But here, we're talking about facts. It was just factual. Rabba Rabba Chana, a gemorei, samach. He was being samach, relying on his gemara, meaning this was a formula handed down to him by his Rebbe from way back, from Moshe Rabbeinu. It's a yes or a no. It's not something which you need to, analyze and contemplate and So it was a fact. It's trade for only if it's cut through mostly, and it wasn't, period. Ask the Gemara the next problem. The typically Mishum Chashad, how could Rabbi turn around and purchase the meat from an animal that he permitted? Doesn't that trigger some sense of impropriety and suspicion that perhaps he ruled it to be permitted so that he can partake in it? There's a chashad, the sound, we have a whole set of rules on this. A dayan, an aide who was involved in a process, in a din Torah, should be careful to guard himself from any impression of impropriety. The sound, don't ask a din. So there was a dayan, a judge, who conducted a din Torah between, two parties disputing some sort of monetary issue. Zika, v'chiev, timei v'tir, asa v'hitir, or he ruled on all kinds of things. Zika, v'chiev, he was m'chayev this party to pay, v'zika, he absolved the other party. Timei v'tir, he ruled on tumah v'tahara, asa v'hitir, he prohibited. Likewise, the witnesses that were involved in this process, you have to maintain your neutrality. Don't appear like you're an interested party. So strictly speaking, in halacha, you're allowed to go purchase this item that you permitted, etc. But you're not really meant to. It's not advised. Aval amr chachamim. Harchik min akir, Chacham instructed us to keep far away from impropriety. Umin adam lo, even something which is reminiscent of impropriety. Far, far away. How could the Rav buy meat that he permitted? Perhaps it appears improper. Ha nimili midi demazmin b'shuma. That's only regarding something that's purchased. B'shuma, by estimation. So there's, room to think that perhaps he was given favorable treatment. Hacha maskal muchach. Here, he bought a bag of meat, $2 a pound. Maskal muchach. The maskal, the weight, the scale. Cast aside any doubts. He was just buying it, regular market value, regular price. He heard the rabbi, has a story with rabbi, shara trefta. He permitted a shayla on a trefa. V'zavim in a bistro, and he bought the meat. Amrle. Bas Rav Chizda, so his wife, someone actually changed it to Rava. Rava's wife was the daughter of Rav Chizda. So his wife turned to him and says, my father would never do that. Abba Shori Bukhra. In fact, my father permitted a Bukhar to a coin. He ruled that it had a blemish and he could just eat it. But he didn't buy any of the meat. So it doesn't appear like a conflict of interest. Amrali says, that's very different. Again, Hanimil Bukhra Dashum Mizdabin, that's by the Bukhar, where you sell it by estimation in Halacha, that a Bukhar, any carbon, which became unfit as a carbon and is now going to be used, privately. You can't sell it at the market. You at most you can sell it, just by estimation. You can't weigh it out. So there's, room to think that maybe you got a good deal. You were given preferential treatment. Ahocha, but here it was sold by weight. Maskel muchach. You see the fact that it was sold by weight, that there's no preferential treatment. There's no issues of favoritism. Ma'ika, so what then is your concern? Mishum umtza, mal yasa, perhaps he gave me a good cut of meat. Well, he does that every day. Every day gives me the best piece of meat. Kol yom, every day umtza mal yasa, everybody sells me the best. The Rav gets the best, so that's not an issue. and therefore he had no problem buying it. Amar Chizda, is that Talmud Chacham? What's a true, honest Talmud Chacham who's knowledgeable and is certainly a man of integrity? Zeh haroya treifa la'atzmai. He rules against himself. He decides that his own animal is a treifa. Okay, so then you know he's really an honest man, man of integrity. Likewise, who fits the bill of Soinim Atanes Yeche? Pasuk says, want to live long? Refuse any gifts. Live on your own. Be independent. Have your own source of life directly from Hashem. Don't rely on others. Don't accept free gifts. So what's an example of such a man? Again, Zeroi Treifa La'atzmai, a person who rules himself regarding a Treifa question on his animal. Rashi says, if he's willing to do that on his own money, certainly he's not going to be open to taking freebies from other people. Darash Marzutra, Ishmeid Rav Chisda, Kol Misha Koyre, Vishoyna, person who's involved in, you know, reading, you know, Tanakh, Vishoyna and Mishnayis, Breit Treifa La'atzmai, and he rules against himself. Doesn't mean every time. It means to say he's known to have ruled against himself regarding Treifa matters. Vishimish Tavad Chachamim, and interacts with Talmid Chachamim to gain a deeper understanding of the Mishnayis. That's what we call Gemara, right? So he's involved in good things, an honest man. He doesn't get swayed by, you know, monetary blindnesses. On him the Pasuk says, lucky man, he'll be satisfied with his own earnings. He's not going to be jealous and trying to get, you know, put his hands on other people's money. Lucky and lucky, great. He has a good in this world and the next. He's satisfied here and he achieves high spiritual accomplishments for Olam Haba. Olam Hazeh Olam Haba. Because it says Ashrecha, that's Olam Hazeh, this world. A story regarding Seinu Matan Nesich, Rabbi Lazar. Kevam Shadu Lem Ben Nesia Midi, he would be sent a gift from the Nasi's home. But Shakal, he refused it. Return it to sender, send it back. I don't need gifts. Likewise, V'chiyavu Mezam Nidlei, Loyazal, if they would invite him, you know, to the banquet, he wouldn't come. Amar, he says, you don't want me to live? Like, boy, Mar, you don't want me to live? D'chsiv V'soyni Matan Nesich, a person dislikes gifts. He lives straight from Hashem. He had longevity. Rabbi Zeira, however, did it a little differently. He wouldn't accept gifts. They would send him a gift, he wouldn't take it, in line with this principle. But if they would invite him for a meal, he would go. Why? They're doing it for themselves. Amar, he says, next page, Isyakuri, Slashon of Kavod. Who do Misyak Rubi? They get honored by my presence. You know, you see invitations, and he says, request the honor of your presence. Here it was literal. They were honored by his presence. The fact that, Tzaddik was present at their meal. So Rashi says, it's not a gift. It's a purchase. Right? I get a meal, but they get the covet. So it's not considered a matana. And therefore, he allowed himself. Okay, so we spoke about the farthest boundaries within the veshet, where shechita is suitable, where shechita is allowed. We spoke about the turbis haveshet, which was yanked out of its source. At what point is it a treifa? We spoke about the gargaras that have been sliced. The ruba would be a treifa. What's considered ruba? The outer dimensions, the inner dimensions. Rabba paskan is the inside. In fact, he purchased from the meat, and we discussed why he did it and why there was no concern of maris ha'ayin. And we concluded with the idea of a person just relying on Hashem to sustain him without need or interest in taking from others. All the best to you and Hatzlacha Rabbah.